This is 88.5 NEPM. Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign paid a visit to Western Mass this weekend, raised a bunch of Berkshire bucks, and rallied the state's Democrats. Not that they need much rallying at this point. I'm Sam Hudzik, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly look at politics and government in Massachusetts. We've got Chris Lozinski from the State House News Service on the line. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Sam. Good to be back.
So in the 8 days or so since President Joe Biden called it quits on his campaign and endorsed Harris, we've seen Democrat after Democrat come out in support of the VP. Here's what Massachusetts U.S. Representative Jim McGovern told our show, The Fabulous 413.
The bottom line is people are excited about Kamala Harris, and it's unusual for Democrats because we wrangle over lunch. I mean, so this is like the idea that everybody just kind of came together, but nobody was forced to come together. People genuinely are excited about her candidacy.
And that's translated into winning over the state's convention delegates, too. Chris, can you tell us about that process and what it means?
Yeah, so Massachusetts Democrats had some meetings last week, shortly after President Biden announced he would step down from the race, and came together very quickly in support of Vice President Harris. That means she's got all of the support from Bay State Democrats heading into the party's convention in Chicago. And we're not alone. That seems to be a trend in many other states. You know, nothing is definite and certain until we actually get to the convention and votes to make her the nominee. But all signs point to very significant party infrastructure in Massachusetts and elsewhere lining up behind the vice president.
And of course, there isn't doubt about whether Harris or any Democrat would be able to get Massachusetts 11 electoral votes in November. But the Mass GOP is still chiming in on all this. What are you hearing from the state's Republicans?
A couple of different things. Quickly, they expressed confidence and tried to link Harris to Biden. Unsurprisingly, she did serve as his vice president and argued that her policies are not that different from Joe Biden's, and they think that Republicans will have a good case to make to voters either way. They're also linking her specifically to the way that the Biden administration has handled the U.S. border over the past 4 years, which could be more of a salient issue for voters this cycle.
All right, well, to Beacon Hill now, it's been a certainty that Massachusetts needed to do something about its gun laws ever since the Supreme Court knocked down a New York law a couple years ago. And with Governor Moore Healey signing a new gun law last week, that Bruin decision remains on folks' minds. What does this new law do, and is it susceptible to a legal challenge from gun rights groups?
There's a whole lot of different things in this law, covers a bunch of different areas. Some of the biggest takeaways are new restrictions on what's referred to as ghost guns, which are typically untraceable, don't have serial numbers. It also has a pretty sizable expansion to the red flag law that dates back to, I believe, 2018, which allows more people to petition a court to remove someone's firearms temporarily if they're deemed a threat to themselves or others. And it's got new restrictions on where firearms are not permitted in public, including schools, polling places, and government buildings. The NRA has already said that it plans to challenge this new law in court. We haven't seen an official filing yet, as far as I know, but that is something to watch out for certain.
And you said schools. I mean, weren't guns already prohibited in schools?
Yeah, that's an area that there was a little bit of disagreement among lawmakers. I believe their goal is to make it simply more explicit and apply to every single school without any potential gaps.
Well, getting that gun bill off their to-do list is a huge deal, but state lawmakers still have a mountain of work to do, and we're running out of days when the legislature usually gets most of its work done. The session ends this week, Wednesday, I think. What's left, and how hard is it to pass big legislation after that date?
If I tried to tell you every single thing that's left, we'd probably be here until Tuesday. But the biggest ones, of course, are some bond bills authorizing the state to borrow money to pay for housing and job creation investments. Those definitely have to get done and are still tied up in private House Senate negotiations. There's also a whole slew of different healthcare items stuck in the Beacon Hill bottleneck, including some hospital oversight reforms, some prescription drug pricing controls. So expect healthcare to be a really big focus in these last few days up here.
Chris Lozinski is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from NEPM at our website. That's nepm.org/podcast. This is 88.5 NEPM.